Hello and welcome to Broadcast MIPTV Podcast, brought to you in association with Audio Network. My name's Dominic Schreiber. I'm the editor of Broadcast's International News Briefing. And over the next 20 minutes or so, we'll be taking a look ahead to next week's MIPTV programme market out in Cannes. As the buyers and sellers and other general hangers-on like us prepare for another week of back-to-back meetings, star-studded programme launches and endless cocktail parties, we'll be speaking to some of the key movers and shakers in the international business and giving you the lowdown on the latest shows and the hottest trends making the waves at this year's market. There's a definite US theme running through this podcast. At a time when UK formats like Dancing with the Stars and American Idol are dominating the US broadcast networks, News of the World TV reporter Dan Wootton, we've spoken to top TV execs for their MIP survival tips, and we've got snippets from three of the hottest new shows in the market. I'll also be talking to Ben Silverman, the man behind the successful US remake of The Office, as well as ABC's smash hit comedy Ugly Betty. But first, Dan Wootton spoke to BBC Worldwide's Wayne Garvey.
When Wayne Garvey quit as BBC head of entertainment to become BBC Worldwide's director of content and production, there were more than a few raised eyebrows. Why would one of the top creatives at the corporation want to move into the stuffy commercial world of programme sales and money-making? A year into his job, though, it's not hard to see why. Wayne's clocking up the air miles, transforming BBC Worldwide into an international producer of some scale, actually. And it's great to have him on the podcast today. Okay, Wayne, so I guess the first area where you've made a real difference is with the US and BBC Worldwide at the moment, and bringing in Garth Ancier, who's, of course, a real industry veteran to head up the business over there. So, I mean, what's that all going to mean in terms of the BBC Worldwide development in the US?
It's fantastic having Garth on board, and it illustrates our ability to really recruit fantastic talent, actually, with a great reputation and a great background. And I don't think probably a couple of years ago Worldwide would have either thought about or even been able to achieve a signing of that magnitude. And we're really... It's wonderful for us, actually, to have someone who understands American networks, American television culture. And already, you know, the stuff he's planning to do for BBC America are just going to take it to a completely different level, I think. And we also thought that we needed, you know, the production business is doing well. We've got a channel that is well established, but needs to take a sort of the next stage in its development. We've got a digital media business, got a sales business. They're all doing pretty well. But actually, as you become more successful in somewhere like America, it's quite good to have a coherent view across the piece, because we have quite complicated issues around what plays on the channels, what's a program sale, what should we be in production with, etc. So to have someone with Garth's experience, sort of the ringmaster of all that, is great.
And does this mean it's also going to be less about taking formats that have worked in the UK and exporting them to the US, and more about coming up with entertainment concepts or dramas and comedies that are actually tailored specifically for the US?
No, I don't actually. I think one of the fantastic things is Britain's leading role in content creation, whether that's formats, drama ideas and comedy. I mean, what's brilliant is how the American networks are now welcoming Brits, whether they're producers, they're writers, they're format creators. You know, it's become a place where Brits are expected to do well and will do well. And I think our calling card as a company is we are a British company. We are not an American company, despite Garth's appointment. You know, we're still a British company, and we do things in a different way to American studios and American networks.
And so does that mean that there's going to be a concentration then on translating some of the scripted formats? Because obviously you've been quite successful in the entertainment area with Dancing with the Stars, and now You're the One That I Want. But
well, I mean, I suppose in some ways the biggest thing that's happened this year for us in terms of our business is the fact that we've got three scripted pilots away in this pilot season. That's Viva Loughlin, which was Blackpool, Amanda's The Thick of It, and I'm With Stupid. And they're also, what's fantastic, I mean, I was in LA last week, and it's great when you go to Viva Loughlin, this British show, and there's Melanie Griffith is in the show, Hugh Jackman's in the show. You know, it's like big American talent working on a British project. So in some ways we're a bit ahead of ourselves with what we've achieved with the scripted work. And Paul Telegdy, who runs our LA office, has been I think the prime mover in that. So I think we're looking to build on that, but the rewards for scripted are of such enormity if you get it right. But yeah, it's something we definitely should be involved in.
And what about your developments in the other parts of the world?
Yeah.
Because you're setting up these, well, already you've set up a hub in Brazil.
Our ambitions are quite, we've been quite public about it. We've taken a share in an Australian company, Freehand. I think we're pretty close to doing something in India. That's something that's really important to us, and it's about we take the long term view in somewhere like India. We think we've got to be there for a long term to really achieve things, but when you go there you realise that their production standards are pretty fantastic actually. We're moving quite quickly, I think, in Eastern Europe. We're looking at a number of options in some territories there, and Western Europe, South America. I'm really rather excited about Argentina, Mexico, and Brazil. So,
and what about in Europe outside Poland or Russia?
Poland and Russia are our two sort of priority countries. And I would hope by the end of this year we'd have a production entity in most of those markets. That's probably one in Western Europe, one in Eastern Europe, one in South America, India, Australia. I'll probably come up with another one now. I think we're running out of countries. We'll have to invent a few.
I mean, what about your commercial rivals who say, get out, the BBC should not be doing this? If you're an RDF or you're a Granada America, this is actually not what the BBC is there to do.
Well, I've never heard anyone actually say that. No one's ever said that to my face.
Not to your face.
Well, people say a lot of things behind your back, don't you? And you don't listen to it, Dan. You know that.
But it
seems to me fairly fundamental, actually. The BBC is funded by the licence fee payer. We should aim to return as much of that investment to the licence fee payers of this country as possible. It's quite simple. Secondly, there is no global media player that is British apart from the BBC. And are we seriously saying we're quite happy for Fremantle to do it, who are owned by RTL, a German company? We're quite happy for Endemol to do it, who are French or Spanish, depending on what day of the week it is.
For the moment,
and could tomorrow be, I don't know, represented by Russia? We're quite happy for all these countries to have global players, but somehow we're not happy for a British company to do it. That sounds nonsense to me.
Thank you very much, Wayne. Lots of interesting stuff there, and have a great time at MIP.
Hot picks and MIP tips. Hot pick number one. Title, exposed. Producer, Endemol US. Country of origin, US. Distributor, Endemol.
Have you ever felt like you're being watched? Have you ever felt like you're being lied to?
I've never cheated on a girl before.
I'm always on time.
Boobs aren't that important to me.
I'm not really concerned about the hair on a guy's butt.
On January 1st, your paranoia becomes reality when MTV rewrites the rules of dating.
Miles, can you hear me?
Bet your ass.
Atta boy. Are these girls hot?
We're gonna have fun with these girls, dog. This is gonna be gnarly.
The best friends of these daters will see it all as they spy on unsuspecting contestants who have no idea they're hooked up to lie detection software. That's right. Everything they say is being run through a lie detector.
This software is so evil. I love it.
How many girls have you been with?
Four.
This guy is such a liar, Jenna. Do you ever look at yourself naked in the mirror?
No.
He's telling the truth. One thing led to another, and I was sucking face with Keanu Reeves.
Why must you lie so much?
I'm about to lay some tracks down with Dr. Dre.
He's a liar!
Have you ever tucked your penis in between your legs and stood in front of the mirror as if you were a girl?
Yes, I have.
Weird, but true.
When was the last time you farted?
I've never farted in my life.
Lies! All lies!
And if their lies weren't enough, wait until you see the contestants' reactions when they find out they're being exposed.
Oh. Huh? What?
What?
No way.
Oh, damn.
MTV Exposed, MTV's newest dating show, starting January 1st at 6 p.m. The truth is gonna hurt.
And MIP tips.
Hi, I'm Sally Miles from ID Distribution. I was a producer and now I'm a distributor, so MIP is a very important market for us. And after 15 straight years, I have a lot of tips, although I won't be following them all myself. I think my first tip would be, if you do get the chance to have lunch on the beach, of course I never do, but if you get the chance to have lunch on the beach and it's sunny, make sure you wear suntan lotion. It doesn't look very professional turning up for a meeting in the afternoon with a bright red face, as well as smelling of alcohol. This one always catches me out. I get off the flight, go to the baggage area, grab my cases, and realise that I need a euro for the trolley. So always pack €1 in your bag or your pocket. I always say to myself before a MIP, okay, it's going to be all or nothing, so we have an all or nothing policy. All means that, well, just going to drink and party and just go for it and just build that strength up. Probably need to start drinking a couple of weeks before to prepare the liver and just get through MIP that way. Or the nothing is to be really sensible and to go down to MIP and make a decision that it's you're not going to drink or party and stay out late, but just stay very focused.
And now back to Dan for his pick of the latest US game shows.
MIP TV is usually much more about new European entertainment formats than quality scripted programming, and I'm sure that won't change much as the industry gathers in Cannes in 2007. But my MIP tip is to look to stateside producers and broadcasters for non-scripted concepts this market, especially in the game show genre. For the first time in years, America is starting to deliver some original game show concepts rather than turning existing British or European formats into hits like they've done so in the past with Deal or No Deal and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Now, I have no doubt this is in part because of the pressure being put on executives at the main American terrestrial broadcasters to deliver successful alternative programming. It's just so much cheaper, you know. NBC is case in point, part of the struggling major broadcaster's so-called 2.0 cost-cutting strategy is to devote the 8pm hour in primetime to alternative programming rather than comedy and drama. So what specific shows to look out for at MIP? Well, first and foremost, the catchily titled Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader from Mark Burnett Productions. This show has just taken the US by storm over the last few weeks. It got over 26 million viewers after debuting behind American Idol on Fox and has since turned into a bit of a hit in its own right on Thursday nights. The 60-minute show sees contestants ask a series of 11 questions taken from school textbooks, and they can win up to $1 million if they answer them correctly. At the same time, five actual fifth graders appear on the show, also answering the questions. Now, the twist is that the contestant has to decide whether to trust their own intellect or that of the brainy fifth graders. Already deals for the formats have been done in a raft of countries like ProSieben in Germany, Network 10 in Australia, Viasat in Scandinavia. To me, it seems like only a matter of time before BBC One or ITV One get into the act and launch a Saturday night version, with a new title, of course. A couple of other ones I'd also look out for. Identity is a new NBC game show from those crazy guys at Reveille, and this show sees contestants winning money by matching 12 strangers one by one to phrases about their identities. And CBS is not out of the act either. They have drafted in US game show veteran Phil Guerin to make Power of 10. This is quite an amazing one, actually. Contestants can win up to a whopping $10 million by guessing the results of nationwide surveys. And to do so, they've actually only got to answer 10 questions. Guerin is also involved in Anton Deck's Big American Break, which we're all keeping our fingers crossed for. That's a program for ABC called Wanna Bet. But if all the new US game shows leave you crying out for some quality scripted drama and comedy, then you don't have to wait long because the LA screenings are just a month away.
Hot pick number two. Title, Iggy Arbuckle. Producer, Blueprint Entertainment, in association with National Geographic Kids Entertainment and Core Toons. Country of origin, Canada. Distributor, BVI TV.
Well, howdy there, all you cartoon buying types. Sitting there, staring at the screen. I bet you wish you were here, don't you? Deep in the heart of the Cucamonga Nature Reserve. I bet you think it looks nice and peaceful, don't you? Kind of tranquil. Just the sound of the birds and the bees. Well, think again, Peanut, because it's time for the planet's craziest pig ranger, Iggy Arbuckle!
Yeah!
The
that, my friend, is the siren call of adventure.
You bet your piggy nose it is. But wait, hold on there. Haven't we forgotten someone? No pig ranger is ever complete without his trusty beaver sidekick.
Jiggers.
That's right. Good Jiggers. Clever Jiggers. Brave Jiggers.
But who knows what hideous dangers we'll face. Extreme, horrible dangers. Dangerous dangers.
Yeah, well, we are pig rangers. And pig rangers never say never. Not ever.
Together, these two little critters are unstoppable. Look at those little guys go.
Listen.
Ooh, the bad guy.
Your tone tells me I'm in for a big worry.
Can finally bulldoze that useless, wet-wallied rainforest and build the magnificent concrete factory I've always dreamed of.
Hot diggity dog! Iggy and Jiggers have saved the day. And folks, I gotta tell you, they always do. So come on, cartoon buyer, live a little. Shin out to those there woods and join in the fun. You know what it's called now, don't you? Come on then, say it with me one time. Iggy Arbuckle!
Taste the adventure!
Iggy, Iggy Arbuckle, Iggy, Iggy Arbuckle, Iggy, Iggy Arbuckle, Iggy, Iggy Arbuckle.
And MIP Tips.
My name is Jay Candona and I'm the Director of Acquisitions at ITV. My tip to a MIP virgin would be as follows. If you end up going out one evening and find that you don't stumble back to your hotel until 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening, would be to not go to bed. Just don't go to bed. Get straight into the bath, have a bath, have a little bit of a sleep, get up, put your new clothes on, put your makeup on, big pair of sunglasses, and then trot back to the market.
Breath freshener. I obviously don't suffer from bad breath, but obviously people do have a lot of coffee, a lot of wine at lunchtime, so by the time you end up having meetings in very sort of like, you know, small booths in the market, you do find that a lot of people suffer from really awful breath, and you don't want to be one of them. So breath freshener is a must.
Plan your evenings very, very well, because MIP is actually useful for seeing about 100 people. You end up having lots of meetings, but what you can do is socialise to your heart's content. So what you can do is you can leave the convention centre, get to your hotel, say the Carlton or the Martinez, and en route drink at every single bar and cafe and go to every single party and have network with everybody. I mean, how brilliant can that be?
Our final guest is Ben Silverman, the man behind the US remake of The Office, as well as ABC's smash hit comedy, Ugly Betty. A former Hollywood talent agent turned Uber producer, Ben's latest projects include The Tudors, a big budget drama series for US cable network Showtime, which has just launched to strong ratings and much critical acclaim in the US. We caught up with Ben during a rare gap in his busy schedule to find out just what it was that attracted him to a miniseries set in 16th century England and why the Brits seem to be so in demand in Hollywood right now. Okay, Ben, I wanted to start off by focusing on your new series, The Tudors, which I understand was the most successful new series to launch on Showtime in 3 years. I haven't seen the show yet, but I'm assuming that this isn't your usual kind of PBS costume drama.
No, not at all. You know, I was seeing a big void in the marketplace that neither the British institutions or the American ones were making any period programming. And there was nothing, not even the old tradition of the cowboy show, like Rawhide and Bonanza, and let alone a new take on Brideshead Revisited or any of the great masterworks I had seen produced by the BBC for years, and wanted to tell this story. You know, I was very familiar with Henry, and I wanted to show this king in a different light, this icon in a different light, and so that's where the idea emanated from, that I saw a kind of gap in the marketplace for programs that I personally liked, but I also saw an ability to tell a story of an icon in a different way, and to just in general update the period piece in the same way that kind of Baz Luhrmann did with the musical and Moulin Rouge and with Shakespeare and Romeo and Juliet.
So it's a little bit edgier, a bit sexier than what we might have seen in the past?
Absolutely. Sexier, edgier, a lot of, you know, movement, a lot of kind of quicker dialogue, you know, much more in the tradition of American contemporary drama than in the tradition of tunics and talking heads.
Mm. And you must be pretty pleased with the ratings in for the first episode.
Yes, I am. The first show did fantastic, which is great. And, you know, and I'm also very proud that we are, you know, company that can produce shows like The Biggest Loser, shows like The Office, shows like Ugly Betty, and shows like The Tudors. And today, it was just announced that The Office and Ugly Betty just won, each won a Peabody Award.
I mean, with The Tudors, it seems, obviously, you've had success with The Office and Ugly Betty, which I guess are both adaptations of hit shows. The Tudors is an original series. I think it's with, you're producing with Working Title, is that right?
Yeah, we are. I brought in a guy named Michael Hurst to write it and conceive of it, who's a brilliant creative talent. And yes, it was my idea, and Working Title knew Michael, and they facilitated an introduction.
So is this kind of the next evolution for Reveille? Are you moving more into original scripted programming as well as adapting hit formats?
Absolutely. I do love beginning with underlying material, and Henry VIII is a pretty strong piece of intellectual property in and of itself. So it kind of is in our tradition of kind of identifying something that may have some branding or be known, and then just kind of reinterpreting it and breaking the outer edge of whatever that genre is. And we are, I think, creating more balance between original and remake. And this year, we are making two pilots right now for NBC, Zip, which is an original concept, a family comedy, and I'm With Stupid, which is based on the BBC format.
Yeah, I was interested in finding out more about that. Can you kind of tell me more about what stage that's at?
Yes, I am in the middle of editing I'm With Stupid and Zip right now. And then we will deliver those two shows to NBC in the next couple of weeks. And we will hopefully hear that they will be on the fall schedule or for mid-season sometime in mid-May, officially by May 14th.
Other than I'm With Stupid, I've noticed that there's a lot of UK drama and sitcoms.
A lot.
I mean, more than I can really remember in recent history.
I always like to start a trend and then watch as it gets cannibalized. So in a similar manner, when we launched Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, we were followed up by a number of less successful imitations. I think, you know, we're seeing the same thing happen in the scripted market, in that people are saying, wow, God, Ben made The Office work. Ben made Ugly Betty work. Maybe there's a couple other ideas out there that we should tap into. So a number of shows were purchased for remake.
Just lastly, you've obviously got two hit scripted shows on the broadcast networks. The Tudors looks like it's off to a strong start. Where do you go from here?
You know, we're looking to continue to expand our international distribution operation. We've added a number of executives to support Chris Grant, who's been promoted to executive vice president, and John Pollock, who's been promoted to vice president. And we continue to look to take on great properties from around the world and sell them globally. And I think we're really one of the only two-way players, somebody who's, you know, looking to acquire ideas to remake, but also selling ideas, but doing it from a producer-led company, not a network-led company. And I think that really differentiates us. And we're continuing to expand and look at the digital marketplace, and obviously trying to come up with the next hit television show.
Yeah. Any plans to establish a kind of permanent presence in the UK? You've got such strong links with the market.
I would love to have a more permanent base in Britain. A you know, market that I'm fond of and knowledgeable of and spend a lot of time in, and have just wanted it to be the right moment because we have such strong ties and relationships. I wouldn't want to be in any way competitive to a lot of my partners and clients and colleagues. But it is clearly something that at some point will need to happen as we expand, because I think it's a key market for us as we grow both our distribution and production businesses.
Good luck with that, Ben, and we look forward to seeing The Tudors on our TV screens soon.
Hot pick number three. Title, October Road. Producer, ABC Television and Group M Entertainment. Country of origin, US. Distributor, BVI TV.
There he is. Woo! Yeah, this is very cool. This might be the coolest thing ever.
Nicky Garrett, backpacking through Europe to gather experience, which he will put to good use upon his return.
God knows every doors, floors, and window shop needs an owner-operator with impeccable knowledge of the Eiffel Tower.
Whoa, come on. Ours won't be just a doors, floors, and window shop, right, Nikki?
No, right. It's going to be a doors, floors, and window shop with a historical perspective.
Oh, come on. Don't look so gloomy, Hannah. He'll be back in a few months.
That's what my Uncle Nate said. My Aunt Maria is still waiting by the window in her shawl.
The summer of 1996 changed Nicholas Garrett's life forever.
Lou?
It's your editor, kiddo.
Making any progress?
You ever hear the one about blood and stone and the difficulty in extracting the former from the latter?
Dufresne College called. They want to know if you'd be interested in teaching a one-day intensive on the art of the novel?
Not so much. Dufresne College, that's in my hometown. I haven't been back there in 10 years. There's some people there that... they might not be so happy to see me.
Maybe that's why you're blocked. Go back there. Make peace with it all.
You gotta get past your fears, kiddo. G. Gordon Liddy was afraid of rats.
So he cooked one up and ate it.
You're gone.
If you're suggesting that I cook and eat my old friends, I can assure you, in their opinion, I already have.
But 10 years on as a famous novelist, can a return to his roots and the friends who unwittingly supplied the characters in his smash hit novel really be the cure for his writer's block? Can you ever expect things to remain the same? When you return after 10 years away, is it to open arms or bitter resentment?
I wrote the book here, right here, 3 years ago, over one long winter.
So, you write another book?
Not so much.
You got it, the writer block.
Yeah, something like that.
You could write it here.
Do you hear that? Really?
My grandmother had a saying. Es el tonto que no puede volver al lugar de su felicidad pasada. It is the fool who fails to return to the place of his last happiness.
Whatever the outcome, a piece of Nicholas Garrett will always be October Road.
And MIP tips.
Hello, I'm Jeff Ford. Hello, I'm Jeff Ford. I'm director of acquisitions and Film 4 at Channel 4 and all the other channels. My tips for surviving MIP: firstly, I wouldn't bother going, and that always helps. Secondly, if you do have to go, I would send somebody else from the department. Thirdly, I would send Ken Livingstone because he is a very attractive man and looks quite like me, so I'd send him. Another way, I would probably go the week after. That's much nicer, the prices are cheaper on the Croisette. You don't have to sort of hang about to get a table at a restaurant. Much better. Seriously, I think you should book all your meetings with the major studios in advance to ensure that you get to see the people you want to see. Always have time to walk the floor to make sure you hit all those champagne receptions and get slightly sozzled by 6 o'clock. But the big one is to take 2 alarm clocks just in case that you fall asleep and you miss the first one because you may have possibly been out drinking or having a late night socialising with some Hollywood bigwig.
That pretty much wraps things up for this podcast, brought to you in association with Audio Network. Thanks very much for listening, and thank you to all our contributors. I'll be heading out to MIP this Sunday, along with the rest of the broadcast gang, so look out for our coverage online, and we'll see you down in Cannes.